I'm calling the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
One on ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Air Force. There's no one.
Yo. And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, the realest and blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your whole full-grown life. Really going down straight from the south, straight out of Florida. And it's colder than the mud. Hey, it snowed the other day. It snowed. First time since 1989 here in Tallahassee, Florida, it snowed for real. It snowed for like 30 minutes. Then the snow was gone in like 10 minutes, but nevertheless, it snowed. So I heard it was snowing. I walked outside. I saw the snow, and I took my butt right back inside. I'm from Florida. I don't want to play in the snow. I don't want to know the snow like that. But it's cold. And the reason why I'm mad, because this time last year, it was hot. And see, the weather around here be messing with us. It's a conspiracy. It's hard. It's what it is. It's hard. But nevertheless, man, just wilding, just wilding. Hey, man, welcome back. You know how we get down on the Fix. Go ahead and get ready to strap your seatbelt in, because we got a good show that I got for you today. Got a number of topics. Gonna give you our HBCU spotlight. You know, Grambling once again. Once again, Grambling made the HBCU spotlight. We're going to talk about the Celtics and the Cavaliers and that game that they played without Isaiah Thomas. We're going to talk about the first black woman long track skater in Olympic history. I'm going to give you a little rundown on what happened in college football and the FCS and the FBS. We're down to our national championship game, which will be played on Monday. So I'm going to talk about that, give you my predictions, a little bit of breakdown or whatever, you know. Talk about the old Cleveland Browns. They go 0-16. I got a very funny story if you don't already know. Over in Cincinnati with the Bengals, Marvin Lewis actually gets a 2-year contract extension, even though the team is mediocre. Okay? So college football is over for the most part, the regular season, which is down to the national championship game. So, you know, the draft is coming up, predictions. So I want to talk about quarterbacks. We'll talk about Donald Rosen, Mayfield, Jackson. Who's the best quarterback? I'll give you my thoughts. John Gruden gets $100 million to be the coach of the Oakland Raiders. Give you my thoughts. And, of course, you know, my weekly rant. Colin Coward, I wasn't going to do it, but you ended up in my weekly rant. So that's how I go down. But as you know, we start off with our weekly rant. And as I said earlier, Grambling makes it, but not exactly Grambling University. Grambling State, Shekyla Hill puts her name in the record books on Wednesday night, becoming just the fourth woman in NCAA Division I basketball history to record a quadruple double. So that means Shekyla said, you know what? I'm finna go out here and bang on these girls. I'm finna bang on you. Right? So she had 15 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and 10 steals on the night. And Grambling State actually came out with a 93-71 victory over Alabama State. She completed the impressive feat in one of the last plays of the game, finding teammate Monisha Neal for a three-pointer that would seal the win to secure Hill's 10th assist on the night, securing her quadruple-double. Like I said, that's the fourth one in NCAA women's basketball history, and that's the first time that that has happened since 1993. So Chicago Hill said, you know what? I'm going to make history tonight. She talked to the homegirl, Keisha. Hey, Keisha, what, Chicago? I'm making history tonight. Girl, you ain't making nothing but bacon. Hey, I'm making history tonight. Well, go do it then. So Chicago went out there and made history. When she came home, she said, her roommate, Keisha, I made history. Girl, you sure did. Now go ahead and make that bacon. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, but one time for you, Chicago. One time for you going out there and making history by getting your quadruple double, 15 points, 10 rebounds, 10 steals, 10 assists. So that means she was very active on both ends of the court. And if you want to be a baller, true baller, ball is really life, then you on both sides. You on offense and defense. You holding it down. She balled on offense. She balled on defense. She was banging on the boards. She was making it happen. She wasn't selfish. Chicago, guess what? You get a round of applause from the Peaceful Podcast for your quadruple double, the fourth quadruple double in NCAA women's basketball history. Chicago, you get you a round of applause. Give it up, give it up, give it up. That's enough. I can't see y'all. One time for Chicago, one time for you. Mickey, think you mind. Chicago. Hey, that was tight, though, Chicago. I saw the story out there. I was like, man, I got to talk about this. But one time for Grambling, because Grambling ended up in almost all of my HBCU spotlights. So whatever's in the water in Grambling, whatever in the water, y'all need to keep it in the water, because y'all over there balling, y'all doing y'all thing. And man, just keep being live, keep being beautiful, keep being black. Black, live, and beautiful. That sounds good. That sounds so good. So that right there is my HBCU spotlight, and it is all on Shekyla Hill with her quadruple double. Really going down in the South. I told y'all, man, to go down in the South, man. That's what they call that black girl magic. So sprinkle a little bit of that. Sprinkle a little bit on yourself. All right, so moving on, because I told you we got a number of topics to talk about today. You know I know how to talk, right? So the other day, the Cavs and the Celtics played in Boston. And when I first heard the Cavs and the Celtics going to be playing, I was like, oh, shit. It's going down, because I heard Isaiah Thomas, right? But then when I heard the breakdown, the stipulations about everything that's going on, I was like, man, this is some bullshit. So the day before, I forgot who exactly the opponent was off the top of my head, but the day before, the Cavs played, Isaiah Thomas played 19 minutes at 17 points. He came out, he balled out, right? But my initial thought was, well, they're playing somebody who it really don't matter if people watch it or not. They're playing that team. Probably the Pacers or somebody. I don't remember. But why not just have him make his debut against the Celtics? It just didn't make no sense to me. Why didn't I? I heard a lot of people talking about, well, the emotions surrounding the game. Hey, man, this basketball, because you're going to end up going back to Boston at some point. Hey, as a spectator, I want to see Isaiah Thomas play against the Celtics. I don't care about him playing against the Jazz. I don't care about him playing against the Wizards. I don't care about him playing against the Pacers. I don't care about him playing against whoever. I want to see him play against the Celtics, because the Celtics traded him away for Kyrie Irving, and they already beat for Kyrie and LeBron. So I want to see IT jump on in and do his thing, right? I want to see how this Isaiah Thomas thing mixes in with the Cavaliers. Like, Cavaliers got off to a rough start, but they managed to claw their way back to third place in the Eastern Conference, right? But I want to see how this Isaiah Thomas thing go. Now, the Cavs got their ass whooped. So it may have been for the best that Isaiah didn't play, because came back in the game with the team, got their ass whooped, because the night before they won. Yeah, the Cavs, like, I was watching the game, the Cavs literally got their ass whooped by themselves. The Celtics weren't playing no games. So, and the young light-skinned rookie that the Celtics got, man, I can't never remember nobody's name when I get on this goddamn show. Ain't that a bitch? But number seven, light-skinned number seven, right? He's a baller. I like him. He's a baller. He's having a good year. He's having a good year. So, but I just didn't get it, man. I just didn't get why we couldn't see IT against the Celtics. Like, you know, to me, basketball don't really start until after the All-Star break anyway. I know some people say it don't start until after Christmas, but for me, basketball don't start until after the All-Star break. But, you know, we ain't watching football right now, so we watching basketball a little early. So can I please at least get me some star power in it? I mean, we know LeBron playing and everybody else, but can I at least get that IT going on in there? Come on, man, y'all bullshitting. Whose idea was that? And why y'all ain't consulting me about that? Right? Y'all should have called me and, hey, Joe, would you like to see Isaiah? Hell yeah, I want to see Isaiah play. What you mean? I want to see what that hip talking about. I want to see what he talking about, man. What you mean? I don't want to tune in and just, you know what I'm saying, he back and he on the bench with a little hoodie on, looking like he in 12th grade. You know what I'm saying? I want to see Buddy on the court. Last week, Mr. Brownie got a triple double. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want to see. I want to see Isaiah on that court. I don't want to see him on the bench looking like he just graduated high school. Right? Like he finna go, like he just came from a job interview and he balling with his homeboys. I don't want to see him looking like that. I don't want to see Isaiah on that court, balling, playing basketball, especially against the Boston Celtics. Y'all ain't think about me none at all. Y'all ain't think about the casual fan of basketball at all. Why bring him back against the extra regular boys and don't bring him back against the Boston Celtics? You tell me. I don't get it. Do you get it? Because if you get it, tweet me at JoeWar84. Tweet me and help me understand. Right? Help me understand why he ain't played against the Celtics. That's what I wanted to see. That's what I was excited about. That's what I was expecting. Till I heard him say, well, he ain't playing. What the hell? What you mean he ain't playing? You really want me to watch this and he ain't playing? Hell, y'all ain't serious about life. You don't know me. I mean, that's just my thoughts on that. I just want to see old boy play. I just thought it would be nice to see his comeback. Imagine him dropping that 17-19 against the Celtics. Maybe the Cavs would have won. Kevin Love did get hurt. He messed his ankle up or something. And he had like 2 points if he had that. So maybe that 17 could have helped against the Celtics. Maybe Cavs could have won. So the rest of the goddamn team didn't show up. Jay Crowder and Green. Jeff Green. Both them boys from, they from Boston too. Them boys ain't show up. LeBron the only one showed up. So why we couldn't get no IT? Hey man, remember, you can't spell shit without IT. That's all I want to say. I just want to drop that on you. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I know I'll be wilding. I'll be wilding. Hey, so, but that's all I want to say about that. I just, you know, in my feelings on it, I just felt like IT should have been playing against the Celtics. And the reason he wasn't playing against the Celtics, and I thought that was like shit, so whatever. All right, so I want to get into some history, right? Aaron Jackson. Now, white, racist white folk, I'm about to make you mad, so get ready, because I know the racist white folk like, great, late, I can't believe this. Now these niggas is taking over skating. They're taking over, I mean, they got the basketball, got the football, got the baseball, got the tennis, right? You had the Tigers. He had the eye of the Tigers in the golf. We thought we were safe. I see you got your couple little sprinkles of a little chocolate morsel niggers in hockey. But the skating. You got your one other girl with the fast skating, the Biney, Heiney Biney with the skating. But now you want to come back with Aaron Jackson. And you want to take the long skating. You want to take everything from the good white man. That's why we are oppressed in this country, because you black people, you coloreds, I want to take everything from the good white man, what Jesus promised us. Good white, baby, Jesus promised us that we will be able to prosper and have land and freedom and all of the cow's milk we want to drink. And now y'all want to come be skaters. Who told you to come skate? It's a white man's thing, skating. I skated to my wife's heart one day, and we're married. I skated to the store one day, right? I skate, and I'd be damned if y'all don't want to skate into my life and be a part of what us good white people like to do. Aaron Jackson, you want to become the first African-American woman to make the U.S. Olympic long track speed skating team when she placed third in the 500-meter race during Friday's trials in the good white man city of Milwaukee. I don't like that. That in itself is enough for a great story, but the manner Jackson made the team was even more intriguing, right? Believe it or not, 25-year-old from Ocala, Florida, has been skating on ice for only a total of four months. She's been skating for 4 months? I cannot believe. I'm calling the White Towns. I'm calling the Klan meeting. I'm calling the Klan meeting because I cannot believe they let some colored girl who's been skating for 4 months win and make it to the Olympics. The white man is under attack. Hey, man, one time for Aaron Jackson and one time for all the white folk who are going to be hating on this. This is what Aaron said. I really wasn't expecting any of this. Just coming in as a newbie, just trying to do the best I can, right? I still don't even know. That's what she's saying. Jackson has a background in inline skating and roller derby and first hit the ice earlier this year. Black girl magic. She only been doing it this year. She only been doing it this year, and she going to the Olympics. So first we had the bobsled. Then we had Viney. Now we got Jackson taking over the ice. See, cool, the movie Cool, I'm finna watch Cool Runnings. I wanna watch Cool Runnings now. I wanna watch Cool Runnings. Because the movie Cool Runnings, all that was an omen into the future, what's gonna happen in 2017 with all the black women making it to the Olympics in these ice sports in the Winter Olympics going down. Hey, if you don't like it, that's because you stupid and your breath smell like booty hole anyway, right? Jackson has a background in inline skating and rope. I read that. My bad. Jackson will be part of a U.S. Olympic speed skating team that is becoming more diverse. It better be. Washington's Maimé Bainé recently became the first African woman to qualify for the country's short track team, and they'll be joined by Chicago's Shani Davis. Oh, I didn't know about Shani Davis. The two-time gold medalist who will be competing in his fourth Olympics. Okay, Shani Davis. Oh yeah, Shani Davis. I think I remember. I don't know. I just did all of them years for nothing really, but okay. So color being splashed into these skating teams, and if any of y'all got a problem with it, y'all come see me. We taking over. Where DJ Khaled at when you need him, right? We taking over one race at a time. We taking over one race at a time. It's going down, man. Hey, the Olympics ain't gonna never be the same. It ain't never the same when black people come through and wreck shop. But it really ain't gonna never be the same. Cause last time they wrecked shop in the pool. In the gymnastics and on the track as usual. But y'all thought y'all was gonna be cold on us, take it to the Winter Olympics, and we weren't gonna come with you. But guess what? We here. Black folk help. Black power. Black pride. Ooh. Hey, man, one time for you, Aaron Jackson. You know what, Aaron? You know what? You, Aaron, you, Miami, Shiny, and my bobsled women. You know what? Y'all get a round of applause. Man, the little shirt, get him a round of applause. Get him a round of applause. You know what I'm talking about? Make them white folk mad on that ice. Make them white folk mad out there on that ice because you're out there doing your thing, man. Hey, man, make them white folk be extra mad. Be big mad. Be big cracker mad. It don't even matter whether my pockets are slimmer or fatter. Whether BBQs or Mr. Child's platter. Hey, man, I'm just tripping. I was listening to Shine the other day. But, you know, one time for Aaron Jackson, man. One time for Aaron Jackson. I wish you much success. And I hope you go out and continue to do your thing, Aaron. Hey, and if anybody hating on you, Aaron, you just let me know. And I'll get them for you. They don't know me. I can fight. I can fight, Aaron. So you let me know if anybody talking that junk. All right. Moving on like Maya. College football. I'm sad it's wrapping up. Football is my favorite sport. The national championship games are bittersweet for me because I love to see champions be champions, but I hate to see the season end. Kind of like a woman with a nice body and a nice butt walking away. I love to see you walk away, but damn it, I'm sad you're gone. Girl, I love you. Right? So, as I promised you, January 6th happened. Today, January 7th. So, I gave you an update on the FCS championship game, which was held at the Toyota Stadium in Frisco, Texas, between North Dakota State and James Madison. And if you don't know, the winner... Oh, let me get my drum roll. The winner North Dakota State 17-13 victory over James Madison, and my dog Easton Stick was named game MVP. I just want to take the time out to let y'all know that Easton Stick is the perfect porno name for somebody. My name is Easton Stick, and I lay him down. He being pornos like the revenge of the stick, right? Or Easton sticks your girl, right? Or Easton stick 'em up, right? Or Easton the sticker, something like that. I don't know, but that's a good porn name, right? Them names. I fucked up on them porn show names, but still, Easton Stick is a great pornography name. Like, if you're a white boy and you want to be in porn, your name should be Easton Stick. Stick. I'm wilding, I know. But that's just a good porn name. That's when I hear Easton Stick, I think of porn. Maybe that's just me. Maybe it is just me. I know you're thinking. I know. Some of y'all that Joe, you nasty. Forget you. You should know by now. If you don't know, now you know. Alright? So 17-13 victory, James Madison lost to North Dakota State. So let me give you the rundown. So James Madison had a total of 93 rushing yards. North Dakota State had 134. Marcus Marshall, he had 30 yards in the touchdown for James Madison. Bruce Anderson had 63 yards in the touchdown. My dog Easton Stick had 14 carries for 35 yards. Passing, Easton Stick went 13 for 22, 130 yards in the touchdown. His longest pass was 50 yards for James Madison. Brian Score. He went 14 for 32, had two picks, 148 yards, no touchdowns. For South Dakota State, Darius Shepherd, he a black dude because his name Darius, he had six catches, 74 yards and a touchdown. for James Madison. Their receiver name was Riley Stapleton. He had 7 receptions, 100 yards, no touchdowns. See, that's why they lost. It's your number one receiver named Riley Stapleton. So you need to get you some Dariuses or some Demetriuses or some Raekwons or some Tyquariuses or some Tymeers or some Tyquans. Get you at least 2 of them and put them out there. You'll win your championship. But you ain't going if they got a Darius and you got a Riley Stapleton, you ain't going to win. Stapleton would never beat Darius. I swear it would never. Right? Now, you got Terrence Alls, right? And maybe you should have threw it to Terrence a couple more times, right? Because they got another dude, South Dakota State got another dude named R.J. Urzendowski. Oh, see, I sounded that out. I sounded that out real good. Urzendowski, right? R.J. Urzendowski. He don't sound like he good, right? He had 3 catches for 21 yards. He ain't good, right? And then they got a dude named Dimitri. He had 2 catches for 20 yards. But nevertheless, South Dakota State are the national championships of the FCS. So South Dakota State should have to play North Carolina A&T. So they can see who the real FCS champion is. South Dakota State is the FCS playoff championship. North Carolina State is the Black College Football champion. They should have to play for supreme rights to say that we're the best in the FCS. They should. I just want to see the HBCU teams win this total playoff, right? But that's what it is, man. So football, FCS football is over. So all y'all boys, man, the ones who are going to the league, I wish y'all much success. The ones who are not, but if it was your last football game, I wish you much success in life. I hope you have the great. Help you have the right people in your life to help you transition. Because let me talk about that for a minute, not too long. But transition, being able to transition from sports into real life, right? That's a hard process for some people who've been fed sports all of their life. So parents, do yourself and your kids a favor. Don't feed them sports all of their lives. Give them other things to have an interest in and help groom them and help develop skills and interests and a whole lot of other stuff. So when football does come to an end, because eventually it's going to come to an end. Whether you go to the league or not, football is coming to an end. Sports is coming to an end. But they will be able to transition to other things in life and won't just be like, man, football is over. I don't know what to do. Motherfucker, live. Right? Live. You don't want somebody to be stuck. Being stuck after you thought that you was going to go to the league or you thought you were going to play football forever, being stuck is not sexy. So just remember that. All right, so I'm going to talk about some FBS. Tell you where we at. So the national championship game is set. It's for Monday night, the number 4 seed, Alabama, against the number 2 seed, Georgia. Like I called it. I did say, if you don't believe me, go back and check the tapes. Go back and listen to the shows. I called it. I said Bama and Georgia was going to be playing. As soon as they gave us the Final Four, as soon as they gave us the playoff, I said it's going to be Bama and Georgia. Now, let me talk about some of these other games that happened that I haven't talked about. So Michigan played South Carolina on January 1st, and South Carolina came out with a 26-19 victory over Michigan. For SEC prowess like they should have, right? I ain't really watched that game. I was watching the, what game was I watching? I was watching UCF Auburn. I really was watching that game. So, but that's South Carolina. South Carolina beat Michigan, and I'm good. I'm glad because SEC, man, the South, right? So, also we had LSU against Notre Dame. LSU didn't live up to what they're supposed to do. LSU lost to Notre Dame 17-21. So LSU goes to 9-4 in the year, Notre Dame 10-3. Michigan finished the year 8-5, South Carolina at 9-4. Then, like I said, we had UCF and Auburn. UCF actually beat Auburn. UCF is the New Year's 6 Day Bowl party crasher, and UCF came in and crashed the party and beat Auburn to finish the year 13-0. And then Auburn finishes the year at 10-4. So, before I get into all that. And then we got to the college football playoff. So the first playoff game was a great game. It was against Oklahoma and Georgia, and Georgia came out with the 54-48 victory in double overtime. Now, one thing I don't understand in this game is Lincoln Riley. Why did you come out in the second half and didn't come out with the same strategy and tempo, at least the same tempo? Because Georgia made great adjustments to Oklahoma's offense, but Oklahoma didn't make adjustments, and Oklahoma's defense failed. Well, that was Big 12 defense. What you expect? That Big 12 defense. Let me give you these stats, man. Let me give you these stats from the game, right? So Georgia had, as a team, 317 rushing yards. Oklahoma had 242. Georgia had 210 passing yards. Oklahoma, Baker Mayfield had 287 with two touchdowns and one pick. Jake Fromm had 210 yards, two touchdowns, right? So Sony Michel had 11 carries for 181 yards and three touchdowns. Nick Chubb had 14 carries for 145 yards and two touchdowns. Anderson for Oklahoma was balling. He had 26 carries for 201 yards and two touchdowns. Now, the surprise was Oklahoma being able to run the ball the way they did, as well as they did, because they, like I said, they had 242 total rushing yards, and Anderson himself had 201. So Oklahoma being able to run the ball as well as they did was a big surprise. I wasn't surprised about Baker Mayfield's performance because, you know, Baker Mayfield is a bad motherfucker, and I'm gonna go a little further into that a little later. But Baker Mayfield, to me, being the quarterback he is, I kind of expected him to have some success, but I didn't expect him to have that much success, and I didn't expect Oklahoma's offense to have that much success. But the trickery and then the fast tempo within the first half really helped Oklahoma's offense. But coming out in the second half, because Georgia made some pretty good stops before the half, before the first half went out, right? And so in the third quarter, Georgia dominated Oklahoma. They dominated Oklahoma in the third quarter. Oklahoma, they didn't even score in the third quarter. Georgia had two touchdowns in the third quarter, and Oklahoma didn't score. Their total yards was horrible in the third quarter, right? And so now one of the key things about this game is, to me, that helped secure Georgia's victory is, first of all, Georgia staying true to their running game. Georgia is a running team. They were going to run the ball, and they ran the ball. And they ran the ball down Oklahoma's throat, and they ran the ball 34 times, right? So late third quarter, early fourth quarter, I heard the announcer say that Oklahoma's kicker was kicking field goals. It was punting and doing kickoff. So I was thinking about the fatigue of the kicker's leg. And the longer the game goes on, the more fatigue will set in, and especially the more that the kicker has to do, especially if points are being scored. So I was looking to see how that affects field goals. Oklahoma, they made a great play, a great defensive play in the fourth quarter to get the strip of Sony Michel. So Michelle fumbled the ball. Oklahoma's linebacker or safety number 10 picked the ball up, ran it back in for a touchdown. But Georgia was able to answer, and they scored. And now the thing that made Georgia win the game was the touchdown by Sony Michelle. Now, what made that touchdown, what it was, is that Oklahoma's kicker, the last field goal he took, was blocked in the second overtime, right? The kick was blocked by one of Georgia's players. Now, the kick was a bit low. It wasn't a horrible kick, but the kick was a bit low. So, to me, the fatigue had something to do with that. I was paying attention to that. Just a little thing. And then, you know, Georgia got the ball back, Sonny Michel. Great blocking by Georgia. He hit the corner, scored the touchdown, and Georgia would not be facing Alabama. All right? So, Alabama played Clemson in their semifinal game. And that was less of a game than the Alabama Oklahoma game. Alabama basically dominated Clemson. To me, that game came down to just what I expected, the quarterback play. And Kelly got exposed. Kelly Bryant got exposed. Kelly Bryant got exposed as the quarterback that he's not. Because I knew that this game was going to come down to quarterback play, because Clemson has a monster team. They just have a quarterback who's green. Remember, Kelly Bryant this year is in the same position that Jalen Hurts was in last year. Except the difference is it was in the championship game. But that shows you how good Deshaun Watson was. Deshaun Watson was a real quarterback, because you need real quarterbacks when you're facing teams that have equal or better talent. Real quarterbacks help you get over those specific humps. Kelly Bryant couldn't get his team over these specific humps. The team was not moving the way they should. The offense was not moving. He had 124 passing yards. Jalen Hurts had 120. That's more like Jalen Hurts. But Clemson as a team had 64 rushing yards. Alabama had 141. Harris had 77 yards. Hurts had 40 yards, and Scarborough had 24. And they was eating Scarborough ass up. I ain't gonna lie, that upright running that Scarborough was doing wasn't really sexy, and it wasn't really working. But Harris and Hurts was really killing them. Now, Alabama didn't have any rushing touchdowns. Neither Alabama nor Clemson had rushing touchdowns. Both of those defenses, man, hats off to both defensive coordinators for Alabama. You know, Jeremy Pruitt is going to Tennessee, but for Alabama, and then I forgot Clemson's defensive coordinator name, but hats off to both those defensive coordinators. Those defenses came out ready to play ball. Those defenses came out and dominated those games. And the defenses played better than the offenses. It's just Clemson's defense couldn't do it all, because Clemson's offense couldn't get anything going. There was no real success. Clemson didn't have any real success on their offense in this game, and Alabama's defense, they dominated. Minka Fitzpatrick and all these other boys, like Alabama's, their defensive end even caught a touchdown from Jalen Hurts. Right? What's his name? Payne. Yeah, D. Payne. He caught a touchdown. Calvin Ridley had 4 receptions for 39 yards. And, Kelly Bryant didn't even throw any touchdowns. D. Kane for Clemson had 75 yards off of 6 receptions. But Alabama dominated. So it's going to be Alabama, Georgia. This is going to be another gritty. This is one of my games that I like. Alabama, Georgia, one of the games that I like. It's going to be a defensive game. It's going to be a hard-fought game. It's going to be a game that comes down to the trenches. What's going on in the trenches, right? And quarterback play, because Alabama has Jalen Hurts, who's in his second consecutive national championship game, versus Georgia's Jake Fromm, who's in his first national championship game. First time he's been this far on the college stage. First time Georgia has been this far on the college stage in a while, because they've shaken off the curse of DeMarc Rick. Kirby Smart got them boys in the championship game somewhere. Someplace Mark Rick could not get his teams, because somehow he just wasn't good enough. So I am picking I'm going to go with Alabama, only because the coaching matchups, and I like Jalen Hurts' calmness, but I will say this. Jake Fromm is a better quarterback, so that's why I'm hesitant to say Alabama, because both teams are built different. But an edge goes to having Nick Saban being in his, eighth or ninth championship game, fifth with Alabama. The offensive coordinator, I like him. And then, you know, the experience of this team being here, like Alabama has been in the championship game or in the playoff every year. And this is their third championship game in the playoff. The playoff has been going on for 5 years. And this is their third time. No, 4 or 5 years, and it's their third time in it. So Alabama has that edge. But I will get that edge. I will recognize Georgia's defense. I will recognize Kirby Smart is a good coach. We'll recognize Jake Fromm as a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts, but Jake Fromm is less experienced. Now, we'll recognize Georgia's running game is mean as shit. But which coaches will win? Because Lincoln Riley had Kirby Smart on the ropes in the first half of the Oklahoma game. It was Lincoln Riley who chose not to come back out with the strategies that were working and, you know, keep Georgia off balance with the up-tempo and all the different things that they were doing, even though Kirby Smart made great adjustments, and that's what great coaches do. Make great adjustments in football is four quarters. Hey, man, so Monday night, 8 o'clock, Alabama, Georgia, somebody going to drop their nuts. Somebody going to go home crying like a little bitch. We're going to see what happens. It's going down in the South, and that will be in Atlanta, Georgia. So, now, what's funny about all this football stuff is the University of Central Florida is proclaiming themselves national champions. I think that is hilarious. Y'all almost made it in my weekly rant. You almost made the weekly rant, UCF. But they plan on putting a banner up and proclaiming themselves as national champions because they're the only team to finish undefeated. I get what you're saying. I get you think you're the best team. And because you beat Auburn, and then Auburn beat both Georgia and Alabama, right? So you like, hey, man, we beat the boy that beat y'all, so we could beat y'all. But for one, well, I'm not going to make no excuses for Auburn, because Auburn should have won that game. Whether they should have came out to play, but I don't think UCF could beat Georgia or Alabama. I don't think UCF could beat Oklahoma. I don't think UCF could beat Clemson. Matter of fact, I know UCF cannot beat Clemson, Georgia, and Alabama. Whether they could beat Oklahoma is questionable because Oklahoma don't play no defense, but neither does UCF. But I think Oklahoma got, I don't know. That'd be a nice one to watch. But I do know UCF cannot beat Clemson, Georgia, or Alabama. UCF, stop the madness. Come back next year, ball out again. Your coach gonna go. Your coach going to Nebraska. So come back next year, ball out again. And hopefully if you get ranked a little higher, you can actually get to the playoffs. But come on, man, stop it. Stop with the bullshit, UCF. Stop with the bullshit because y'all not national champions. You just had an undefeated season. The national champion, we're gonna find that out on Monday. That's when we're gonna find out the national champion. That Monday game. But what's not gonna happen, y'all gonna be recognized as national champions. That's not. So you need to get your ass off your shoulders. You need to quit the bullshit. Because you're not national champions. And you're not gonna be no national champions. Kudos on your undefeated season. And one time for being from Florida. But what you ain't is national champions. You can tell yourself what you want. Watch this. I'm a magician. I ain't doing no goddamn magic tricks. So you know what that means? My ass ain't no magician. I can call myself what I want to call myself, but guess what I ain't? A goddamn magician. There you go. You better get it right. So I just want to add that piece because I think it's hilarious that UCF is proclaiming themselves as the national champions. You almost ended up in my goddamn weekly rant for that bullshit right there, UCF. Hey, man. I get it. The system ain't right. I get it. But your conference ain't live either. So if you want to start with the big dogs, come play with the big dogs. That's all I'm going to say about that. That's all I'm going to say about that. Now, I got something funny to read to y'all. So the Cleveland Browns, they went 0-16. 2017 NFL football season, the Cleveland Browns did not win one game. They drafted who? Patrick Mahomes? Yeah, he didn't. Yeah. Nothing worked for the Cleveland Browns. They almost won one game, but they didn't win. Somebody dropped the football. But what's funny, though, is a dude named Chris McNeil organized the Cleveland Browns Perfect Season Parade 2.0 to commemorate their 0-16 season. And that was like the nail in the coffin, or their frustration, or their mockery of the Cleveland Browns season. The parade was held to commemorate the team's 0-16 season. It was a protest. One Cleveland police estimated between 2,500 and 3,200 people showed up to either watch or take part in. There was a pickup truck sponsored by a funeral home with a casket on the back, a bunch of Browns painted buses rolling along the way, and sign after sign criticizing Cleveland's Brown owner, Jimmy Haslam, and the team's front office, and many fans had bags over their heads. The infamous Cleveland quarterback graveyard with painted fall headstones of every Browns quarterback since 1999. That is hilarious. That is hilarious. All the quarterbacks who was garbage since 1999. If you go to Cleveland, your career is over, right? Making an appearance on the headstones, right? This was the aftermath of the 0-16 season in this city. A part celebration, part protest, and part cathartic for fans who have followed the Browns for all the fallibles throughout the years. I mean, whatever, for all they fucked up years. I don't know what that foibles, whatever. But Browns garbage. Now, everything about the Cleveland Browns is garbage, right? It was that kind of macabre type humor that I think the Browns fans have, McNeil said. I think we have every right to have after this organization have given us nothing now for how many years? I don't know. But Cleveland been garbage like all my life. Then they became the Browns. And then Cleveland came back. And then they were still garbage. So I think the Cleveland Browns fans have all the right to be pissed and to be mad that their team, their football, their beloved football team has went 0-16 another year. And Hugh Jackson, the coach of the Browns, the sellout coach, the old pussy-ass sellout coach who talk about he talking about he encouraged his players not to kneel at the beginning of the season. You know, I went off on this pussy ass at the beginning of the season, right? So Hugh Jackson talking about he glad his team went 0-16 so it can wake him up and be encouraged. Bitch, you glad. You better be glad you still got your job. 0-16 ain't good, cuz. That ain't shit to be glad or happy about. That your team went 0-16, motherfucker. That's your job at stake. Now, one time for being a black man, the pimp and the sister still have a job for going 0-16, but I take that one time back, cuz you the type of Negro to say what you got to say to make white people feel good. And you discourage black people standing up the way they're supposed to. That's some whole shit. You's a bitch for that. One time for being a black man to go on 0-16 and not getting and not losing your job. But ain't nothing good about your team going 0-16 there, car. Nah, car. 0-16 ain't sexy. Being a loser ain't sexy. And that's part of Cleveland's pedigree, is to be losers. So you do this again next year. Start next year all fucked up. And we'll see how long you beat up. Keep with that. Oh, this is a good thing. I guarantee you don't make it through the season next year. Keep that bullshit up. Keep it up. I'm telling you, you won't be there next year. With that bullshit. You think it's a good thing that you went 0-16 and kind of wake the team up. Hey, man. You crazy as hell. Hey. I don't know. So let me read you this quote by this person. This is from Marvin Lewis. My job is to win a world championship. Well, bitch, you ain't doing a good job of that. You are far, you are so far on the opposite end of the spectrum of winning the national championship. The word, you shouldn't even get to say chips. You shouldn't even get no chips ahoy. You shouldn't even get to play poker. Shouldn't even have no friends named Chip. Can't chip no dishes. Can't have no chip teeth. Right? We have a talented roster full of veteran leaders and emerging young stars, and I'm committed to making the necessary improvements to put this team in the best position to win. Are you? Really? Are you? You need to prove that to everybody. Because right now, you ain't talking about Nathaniel Watkins. For all you people who don't know what that means, what I just said, when I say Nathaniel Watkins, that means nothing. Nathan, nothing. Nathaniel Watkins, you ain't talking about Nathaniel. Hugh Jackson. You ought to be ashamed of yourself for going 0-16. You really should be ashamed of your goddamn self for going 0-16. Y'all can get one win. One win? Y'all be ashamed of yourself, cuz. So, we're going to see what happens next year. We're going to see how long Hugh Jackson lasts. And we're going to see if the Browns can actually get more than zero wins next year. The Browns get 3 wins next year. That's an improvement. And the Browns get 1 win, that's an improvement. But this 0-16 stuff, y'all ain't tripping. Y'all ain't talking about nothing. Hugh. Hey, Hugh. I see you, but I don't see you. All right, so on to coaches that I can't believe still have jobs. Marvin Lewis of the Cincinnati Bengals. Marvin Lewis is like the black Jeff Fisher. I almost want to say that, but I don't, because Marvin Lewis actually makes the playoffs, so he's better than Jeff Fisher. But Marvin Lewis is, his teams have been mediocre like a mug. And the Cincinnati Bengals gave him a 2-year contract extension. So let me read this to you. The Cincinnati Bengals have signed a 2-year contract extension with head coach Marvin Lewis to keep him at the helm through the 2019 season. So that's, he'd have that for the 2018 and 2019 season, right? Lewis met with the team's ownership on Monday to discuss the future plans. My job is to win a world. Oh, man, I just, you know what? Yeah, that's Marvin Lewis. The Bengals missed the playoffs at the end of the season with a 7-9 record. Lewis's contract and his 15th season as head coach came to an end with a 31-27 victory over the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday. The Bengals had reached the playoffs in 5 consecutive seasons from 2011-2015. Under Lewis, the Bengals are 0-7 in the playoffs, which is the worst postseason coaching record in NFL history. His 125 career victories for the Bengals are the most in the franchise history. Lewis is the second longest active tenured coach in the league behind Bill Belichick's is 18 years. So I'm not mad. You know what? My perspective on this is all totally different. Hey, Marvin, keep getting what you can get out of these motherfuckers, dog. Jeff Fisher kept getting the job. You can keep getting the job. You can keep your job. What they say you was there 15 seasons? So, I mean, keep doing your thing, man. Keep coaching. Keep your job. They keep giving these mediocre ass white coaches chances. Why you can't get no chance? That's how I feel about it. I ain't mad at you. I ain't mad at Marvin like I'm mad at Hugh. Hugh be bucking. But Marvin, I ain't mad at you, Marvin. Hey, man, keep getting your contracts cut. Keep getting your money. But, damn, can we get a playoff victory? Please, can we get a playoff victory? Because that would help you out even more. Now, you being the Bengals, winning this coaching history is a great, great, great asset for you. But damn, bro, can we get a victory? Can we get a playoff victory or something, though? And Andy Dalton, man, I don't hate him, but Andy Dalton in that same class with Alex Smith. You know, you'll get to the playoffs, but that's about it. But Marvin Lewis, man, I just want to drop that line on y'all one time for Marvin Lewis for pimping the system, for being a all right coach, a pretty good coach, being a pretty good coach and still keeping your job. You're going to go into your 16th year. You got a contract extension for 2 years. I know these white folks mad at you. You know, I ain't going to talk junk about you. But I'm just saying, man, pimp the system, man. Get what you can get, man. I ain't mad at you. Why not? Why should I be mad at you? I mean, you've been going to the playoffs. Just need some playoff victories. You ain't been in 2 years. But, you know, it is what it is. Cincinnati don't feel like they can do better. Hey, who am I to argue? I do think your team is too talented to be coming up short like you're coming up short. But, you know, it's that bullshit. But it is what it is, man. Do your thing. Do your thing, Marvin. Marvin! You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. All right, moving on. So, Colin Kaepernick still don't have no job. 49ers starting quarterback is Jimmy Garoppolo. everybody's up in arms and all hype because Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers finished the season like 4-0, 5-0. Jimmy Garoppolo had his completion, he had a 67.1 completion percentage on 176 attempts. He had 1,542 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, 5 picks, with a quarterback rating of 94. He had 14 runs for 7 yards and 1 touchdown. And they're saying that Jimmy had a good season, a good end of the year, right? The year was good, and what he did was good, and that could stand him to get paid. Now, the problem with that is Kaepernick, when he ended the 2016 season, he had a 64.6 completion percentage on 164 attempts, had 1,093 passing yards, 9 touchdowns, 2 picks, and a 96.9 passer rating. He ran for 188 yards and 1 touchdown. So stats are similar. And you know, Kaepernick better than most, a good number of quarterbacks in the league. But he still don't have no job. And just after the year, just seeing what happened with Jimmy Garoppolo, just how people went crazy over the short success that Garoppolo had, because he's now, what, 6-0, 7-0 as a starter. And as a white boy who haven't ruffled anybody's feathers, everybody is like, Garoppolo, he's the next man, he's the next big thing in San Francisco, he need more money, he need contract extensions, all these things here. But Kaepernick basically did the same thing Garoppolo did, but the difference is Kaepernick took a knee. And because Kaepernick took a knee, he's been blackballed from the NFL, and he will pretty much no longer be able to play football in the NFL again. And I just, you know, point out the bullshit that's going on. Like, it's clearly not about Kaepernick's ability to play football. Because there have been countless garbage-ass white boy quarterbacks who got jobs. So, you can't say Kaepernick didn't play in the 2017 season because he wasn't good enough to play. Kaepernick didn't play in the 2017 season because he took a knee in the stands against police and justices, against white people, and the owners of the NFL are supporters of white supremacy. And the stats prove it. The statistics prove it. So, I don't hear none of the other bullshit. Everybody trying to make excuses about Kaepernick, saying he wasn't good enough. Fuck shit. Kaepernick was good enough. Crackers is just crackers. Right? These crackers did not want Kaepernick to be great. That's all. I just want to say that. It's not about stats, man. Jimmy Garoppolo finished the season the same way Kaepernick did, and Jimmy Garoppolo is the next savior in San Francisco. But shit, you did the same thing Cap did. I mean, you really did. You really did the same thing that Cap did. And it's like, people like, Cap ain't good. And I'm like, what you mean? So, hey, man, I don't know. But I've said it before, I don't want Cap to go back into that racist-ass, cracker-ass league. I don't want him playing for none of those teams. And I really wish all the other black players would pack up their shit and go get into our own league and make things happen. Because the money and TVs will follow the black players, because nobody wants to see a whole bunch of white boys out there running around playing with balls. All right. So, moving on. I want to talk about quarterback class coming out. Me personally, top four. Well, you got Josh Rosen, the top quarterback prospects, top NFL quarterback prospects coming out of college. And this is not my order, but this is the order that they have them in. You have Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Rosen of UCLA, Darnold of USC, Josh Allen of Wyoming, Lamar Jackson of Louisville, Baker Mayfield of Oklahoma, Drew Locke of Missouri, Luke Falk of Washington State, Mason Rudolph of Oklahoma State, and Jared Stidham of Auburn, Riley Ferguson of Memphis, Ben Kirk of Virginia, Tanner Lee of Nebraska, Alex McGough of Florida International, yada, 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 yada. So they're saying Rosen and Darnold most likely go first because they have the measurables, all these things here. For what I saw, I thought Baker Mayfield was the better overall quarterback. Lamar Jackson is missing the accuracy, man. Lamar Jackson says he should go pro, definitely go pro. He should get drafted. He should get drafted first, second round. But he still got a little growing to do as a quarterback, his accuracy, decision-making, reading defenses, pre-snap reads, post-snap reads, all those things Lamar Jackson has to work on. But the man, over 3,000 yards passing, over 1,200 yards rushing, that's the second year in a row he went for 3,000, 1,000. So Lamar Jackson is a legitimate talent and should get a look in the NFL. Should get drafted first, second round. Rosen, 6'4", 210. Darnold is 6'4", 225. So they have those measurables. Josh Allen is 6'5", 222. Now, Baker Mayfield, they have listed at 6'2", 214, but people are saying Baker Mayfield basically like 5'9", 5'10", probably my height, 5'10", probably like Russell Wilson, a little bigger than Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, whatever. I just say the eyeball test, especially in this game against Georgia. It was the Baker Mayfield. I know a lot of people were trying to say Baker Mayfield lost that game, but to me, Lincoln Riley lost that game for Oklahoma. He got out-coached in the second half by Kirby Smart. But Baker Mayfield showed me that he is a ball player. He's a real quarterback, and he should be drafted first. He should be the first quarterback drafted. Will he be? I don't know. It reminds me of Brett Favre. It really reminds me of Brett Favre. I like the moxie. I like the cockiness. I like the arm. I like the smarts as a quarterback. I like to know that when the ball is in this guy's hand, I feel like we're going to win. I feel like we're going to win when the ball is in Baker Mayfield's hand. That's the only quarterback on this list I really feel about that, like that. Lamar, like I say, Lamar would be the other one, but he still got a little more growing to do. And Rosen and Darnold just didn't show me what I need to see them as real top NFL quarterbacks. Right? Now, hey, what do I know? Hey, I know a lot, but hey, what do I know, right? That's how people come out. What do he know, right? But I'm just saying, sit back, pay attention. I know a football player when I see it, and that damn Baker Mayfield is a football player, and I think he's the best NFL quarterback prospect that's coming out. Now, he may not get drafted first because Rosen, Darnold, and Allen have the measurables. Lamar Jackson has the intangibles as far as the athletic prowess and abilities, and he's just a bad motherfucker. But we're going to see. Those top five, Rosen, Darnold, Allen, Mayfield and Jackson. Those are the top five, and not in that specific order. So keep your eye on that. I'm gonna keep you updated. After college football season is completely gone, I start getting into the NFL draft, into the draft prospects, breaking them down by position, and giving my thoughts on who's the best and the different things that they bring to the table. If I need a quarterback who's gonna be a quarterback, I just don't think Rosen and Darnold got the nuts to be the men like that. They may can develop into it, but right now I just don't think they can. All right. So, John Gruden is going to be the next coach of the Oakland Raiders. Right. And John Gruden is going to get paid $100 million smackaroos. Over 10-year period, the contract, 10 years, $100 million to be the next coach of the Oakland Raiders. And it was announced yesterday after the AFC playoff game between the Chiefs and the Titans. It was announced that Gruden is officially the coach of the Oakland Raiders, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders. And I don't have a problem with Gruden being named the coach, but I do think a lot of things are being blown out of proportion with Gruden as far as $100 million. Because if Gruden is worth $100 million, then that means Bill Belichick is worth $200 million. Now, if I'm Bill Belichick, my value as a NFL coach just increased exponentially, because I'm looking at Bob Kraft like, hey, I want my money. If they don't give Gruden, because Gruden overall, his overall record as a coach, coaching 11 years, is 175. I mean, it is 95-81 with a 540 win and loss percentage. Right? You know, his best year was the year in Tampa Bay when they won the Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's players. Gruden is a great football mind. He is. Gruden is a great football mind. And Gruden did have that Oakland Raiders team in the Super Bowl. Because in that Super Bowl that the Buccaneers won in 2000, whether it was 2002, whatever, yeah, 2002, the Buccaneers was Tony Dungy's team. The Raiders was Gruden's team. John Gruden was the coach of the Buccaneers. He won with Tony Dungy's players. Now, he did play his old team, the Raiders, but nevertheless, he won with Tony Dungy's players, and he's never won again. And he was fired from Tampa Bay. Things got kind of rocky and all these things. So let's not act like John Gruden is the greatest coach of all time. John Gruden is a great football mind, and I enjoy listening to him and that booth talk about football, and I think John Gruden is a good football coach. But $100 million? I don't think John Gruden is worth $100 million. And John Gruden not only wants $100 million, but he wants a stake in team ownership. He wants to own a stake in the team. And I just think that's asking too much because, you know, there are other coaches like a Bill Belichick, you know, who don't have that type of stuff. And if you're going to get that to Gruden, you got to get that to Billy B. And if I'm Billy B, I'm looking at Kraft like, hey, I want my goddamn money, dog. I want my money. Like this guy has won Super Bowl, right? As the coach of Tampa, he went 57-55. As the coach of Oakland, he went 38-26. So it was not like he was exponentially great or the greatest coaches in these franchise histories when he was there. He had moderate success. He had successful seasons. And a successful season did lead him to, you know, being who he is and looked at as who he is, not taking anything away from him. But John Gruden is not worth $100 million. Timing is everything, and value is everything. And value is determined by the person who's willing to pay that shit. So I'm not mad at Gruden for getting his $100 million in 10 years. I'm just saying I wouldn't pay no 10 years, $100 million here in that contract to be a coach for my team. Gruden isn't worth that. Definitely won't get no stake in ownership in my team. He's replacing Jack Del Rio. Now, what I do like about it is Gruden is an offensive mind. But one of the Raiders' biggest issues was their defense wasn't that good. So I do expect Derek Carr to become better. But I don't know what to say about defense. Because Gruden is an offensive coach, offensive mind, and defense. You know, when he was in Oakland, the offense was great. The defense was cool. And Tampa Bay, you know, that was Tony Dungy's defense. Tony Dungy's the defensive coach, right? So the strength of that team was on the defense. It wasn't necessarily on the offense. So those are things to be able to look at and think about with John Gruden. Not just getting excited because John Gruden is the coach of the Oakland Raiders, but you know what's going on. Like, will and. Beast mode. I don't know if Beast mode is still gonna be on the team. I got to look at his stats and everything. But John Gruden, man, I was when I heard, because you know Gruden's name comes up every year when the coaching vacancy comes up. So when I heard that Gruden was going to be named the coach of the Raiders, I was like, no. At first, I was like, that's bullshit. But then more and more stories, and it got more confirmed. Okay, Gruden is now officially the coach of the Oakland Raiders again, so we're going to see how that goes. Trying to look up these Marshawn Lynch stats real quick, just kind of see what he was doing. Oh, he had, damn, he had 891 yards and 7 touchdowns. He did better than I thought. On 201 carries. On 207 carries. And he did a lot better than I thought. Well, shit, only 31, so he'll be on the team. He'll be on the team again. But that, I mean, you know, that's my thoughts on that. I'm just saying, I wouldn't pay for Gruden. I wouldn't pay for Gruden. And did any black coaches get a look for that job. If not, y'all fuck around, and that's that bullshit. So, you know. Now, on to my weekly rant. I wasn't going to do it to you, Colin. I wasn't going to do it, but your cracker ass called for it. Because Colin Cowherd and all the other haters, all the other people who have a problem. Oh, let me bring my microphone. Make sure my microphone real close. So I get up in this. And I'm gonna get all up in this. Right. Get all up in this. So it's for Colin Cowherd and all you other bitch ass people who got a problem with people challenging the NCAA and the system. All you other fuck ass people who got a problem with people who were smart enough to see that the NCAA is full of shit and they're not gonna allow themselves or the kids to be pimped by the motherfucking system. All you people who got a problem with that, it's for you bitch ass motherfuckers. Right? Because how do you have a problem with somebody seeing an issue and coming up with a solution for it? Because Colin Cowherd, you support white supremacy. See, Colin Cowherd like to think that he know what the fuck he talking about all the goddamn time, too. I hate his pussy ass. He really think he know what the fuck he talking about. Remember, he the same dude who got fired for ESPN for calling all Dominicans stupid. I'm going to say it again. Same cracker who got fired for ESPN for calling all Dominicans stupid. So this punk ass, pussy ass, soft ass, Colin Kaepernick. Cowherd. I'm going to call you like Phyllis call you. Colin Cowherd. Cowherd has a nerve, first because he got a problem with LeVar Ball and the things that LeVar Ball is doing. And LeVar Ball and his son is challenging the goddamn system. Not only sending his boys to Lithuania, but creating his own league. And yes, the boys have been signed to Lithuania. They got their jerseys, and they're over there, and they're doing their thing. I don't really have a problem with that. We're going to see how the system goes. We're going to see how it works out. Now, Colin Cowherd seems to think that black parents should continue to send their kids to get raped by the NCAA, even if they have other options. Because he thinks that the white people should continue getting money. That's what Colin Cowherd thinks, because he's a fuckboy. He's a cracker-ass cracker fuckboy. Right? And Colin Cowherd looks like a middle America serial killer terrorist. He does. He think he's sexy, but he a bitch. He think he's smart, but he a bitch. He think he be knowing what he talking about, but he a bitch. And anybody else who got a problem with people actually recognizing the issue with the NCAA and not allowing themselves or their children to be pimped by the system. Because in Colin's mind, the thing is, well, they're going to skip college and go to a league that pay them like $3,000 a year. And then the rest of their life is ruined because talent ain't good enough. Well, motherfucker, you don't know how the fuck that shit going to go. So shut your cricket tooth ass up, Colin Cowherd. You middle America terrorist, white woman booty eating, bare skin wearing, moose, dog, cat, pig, horse, cow molesting, bitch. That's what you is. See, I wasn't going to do this to you, but I had to because I saw the little clip of you trying to shine on LeVar and everybody else. I saw the clip, and I don't like the shit. And when I see white people trying to shine, when I just on some crack ass cracker shit, and then on some man shit. As a man, even if you don't agree with it, men don't do petty stuff. And that's another thing too. Men who endorse pettiness, watch your brothers and your sons and your uncles and your daddies around them, because they might try to do something funny with them, right? They might try that. But any man that got a problem with another man thinking outside the box and challenging the system that's been fucking up people for a long time is a bitch. Use a hoe at you. Use a motherfucking hoe. And you just fucked up. Your life fucked up. Your girlfriend probably cheating on you. Girlfriend slash wife probably cheating on you. You know Colin can't keep no women. You know, it's like second wife, whatever. He can't keep no women. They probably cheating on him with man who sleep in the garbage can down the street. Oh, fuck ass Colin Cowherd, man. Cowherd. You bitch ass Cowherd. I just don't see how another man can have a problem with a man putting himself in a position to build to build something that would not only enhance himself and his family, but other people. That's an alternative to a system that does nothing but exploit college talent, exploit black college talent. I go to Duke, I make Duke millions of dollars, but I don't get that money back. I don't get to see that. You say, well, they get a degree. Okay, they get a $40,000 degree, $100,000 degree, $200,000 degree, but I just made you $4 million. $200,000, $4 million, you win. And you still get to make money off my likeness and name. And I don't. How the hell do I not get to make money off my own likeness and name? My name is Joseph Ward. And if I become an NCAA athlete, I cannot make money off of my name. Y'all full of shit, man. Colin Coward, you cracker-ass cracker, you bitch-ass motherfucker, you Colin. You can come see me, Colin. You can straight up come see me. You's a bitch. You can come see me. Right? Because you always got something slick to say to somebody who's doing something for themselves that's right, especially people who challenge the system. You always got something to say. Oh, fuck ass. Hey, man, but you know what? I wish LeVar Ball and everybody else who's challenging the system much success. I wish that y'all ball out and drop y'all nuts on all these bitch-ass haters out here. There's a lot of bitch-ass haters out here in this world. People who don't want to see folks shine because they want to see people oppressed. But fuck the oppression, because guess what? Ball or not. Hey, man. Colin. Hey, Colin. You ain't shit. Your show sucks, and you ain't gonna be on Fox long. And you and the Kristen Leahy, fuck you too. Fuck you, Colin. Fuck your hairstyle, Colin. Fuck them cricket teeth. Fuck them collar shirts you be wearing. Fuck that musk-ass microphone from your hot-ass breath. Fuck you, them high-water corduroy Walmart pants you be wearing. Fuck the people at ESPN. Or Fox for hiring you. One time for the people at ESPN for firing you. I just don't like haters, man. I just hate haters. Haters gonna always end up in my weekly rant. Don't be a hater. Be a man. Be a grown man. Don't be a hater. Haters ain't cool. Hating, bam. Yeah, hey, motherfucker. Hate don't look good on you. That's all I got to say about punk ass, bitch ass, soft ass, sis ass, sucking, fuck, dick, and booty ass, Colin's Kaepernick, Colin Cow Turd, excuse me, Cap, Cow Turd, Colin Cow Turd, you ain't shit. And you can come see me. Oh, hating ass, cracker, man. And that's all I got to say, man. This is the Fix Sports Podcast. I'm your homeboy, Joseph Ward, directly from the side, straight out of Florida. It's cold as shit. About to go get me something to eat, kick my feet up, relax, and call it a day. Hey, man, remember, believe in yourself no matter what nobody tell you to do. Even if everybody laughs at you for what you have planned for yourself in the face of laughter, in the face of all the fuck shit, remember, hey, man, you have greatness within you. You are greatness having a human experience. You can do anything that you put your mind and all your being to. And don't worry about don't haters, man. With that being said, I'll holler at y'all on the other side. Peace to the MFN. Out. Fuck it, ass, Colin Coward. You a bitch.
I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Simpson. Tennessee. There's no one like me. I'm from there, Florida. There's no one that.